Buffalo News, I'm Shanalee Marie. A McGill professor has resigned after the university announced it would not divest from fossil fuels. Gregory McKelson, who teaches philosophy of biology and environmental ethics, resigned after the university refused to divest for the third time in the last 20 years. Nearly 9% of McGill's investment pool is in fossil fuels, according to an internal watchdog report. In other news, Quebec has reduced moose hunting allowances in La Delaware-André Reserve by 30%. It's a partial answer to the calls of the Algonquin and Anishinaabeg Nation Tribe Council, who has been calling for a complete moratorium since the summer. Delaware-André is about 2 hours north of Quebec. The Quebec government announces plans to monitor the moose population this summer. To hear the newscast and learn more about the news team, visit cjlo.com/news.
How long it will be. I'm your host, Oren Loft of The Noisy Loft, bringing you loud, angry, and eclectic music this side of the Dakari. And if you're listening to this right now, that means I am dead. Nah, just kidding. So I'm actually out, and it's very cold out. So, yeah, I hope you're all toasty warm. And, hey, I have a little treat for you. I know I'm not in, and that's a bit of a drag. But fret not, because you have all of the goodness that the show entails right here. We've got songs and things, and additionally, I actually get to interview Tyler Carter. I spoke to him specifically last month at their show with Issues, Polyphia, and oh boy, that was such a jam. So yeah, here's some words I have with Tyler Carter of Issues. CJLO, 1690 AM, Montreal.
stuck with the blame and the names that you call me. And when you know you're wrong and you're sorry, bitch, I had a long day, pick up off me. You get the spitting all up in my face. About to say some shit that we just can't erase. My heart is moving at a fast pace.
You're listening to CJLO 1690 AM. I'm your host, Oren Loft of The Noisy Loft with Tyler Carter from Issues. How's it going?
What's up, guys?
Well, so it's first time we've been here with like a full, like a complete album concept headlining tour, if I'm correct.
Yeah,
is that correct?
It's the first time we've ever been able to do like a proper headline tour, like around an album.
Yeah. Is it your first time headlining in Montreal as well?
No, I think we've headlined here a couple times, but this is the first time we've done it like with this much planning and this mm-hmm. much of a concept.
Which is again paying off so far. It's a phenomenal record. Beautiful Oblivion is just. Full disclosure here. This was my first time checking you guys out. Upon just check, like going from front to back on that one, devoured the back catalog.
It seems like we're seeing a lot of new fans coming to the shows too, which is a really good sign. But most people seem to be more interested in the new songs, and everybody's very excited about the new songs. So I would say we do have a cult following that are going to follow us and support us in everything we do. And we do have a lot of old fans showing up, but I would argue that more than 50% of the shows, or more than 50% of the crowds are, you know, more, have just discovered us from our new music, which is good.
I'm
proud of that.
Absolutely. It's earned a bunch of accolades. I've heard, you know, adjectives thrown around like genre, like redefining or like changing metalcore or whatever that means. Like, is your aspiration to elevate a genre or to kind of, you know, do something completely on your own with it?
I don't know if it was necessarily a goal, like, stylistically to you know, necessarily bend a certain genre or go by any kind of title or, you know, name our style. But I think we've always just strived to make the most unique body of work. Every time we write, we just want to make sure that all four of our influences, you know, shine in the music, and that alone just kind of does what it does. But it's definitely cool to hear that kind of stuff, and I think that we've always strived to be known as the band, you know, like if somebody else were comparing themselves, you know, rather than saying, oh, we want to be like this genre or this genre, somebody might say like, oh, we want to kind of sound like Issues, or like, you know, just Issues. Knowing that Issues has its own style or its own genre is cool, I guess, being like a comparison rather than like a genre.
Now I know it's definitely I guess it's kind of most optimal to avoid the like negative criticism or like backlash or whatnot, but in your opinion, what's the most annoying adjective you've heard describe the new album? Like, not insulting, obviously, because the internet's a thing, and right. You know, that can reach untold depth of like, why are you doing this? But like, what's the most like the thing you read that, like, if you've ever read any of the other reviews and you've just been like, why are you saying that?
Oh, I don't know. I'm trying to think of an adjective. I really don't know. You're right though. There's definitely like, we get a lot of hate, or you know, because some of the songs we put out are polarizing, and we knew that, and going into it, we knew that's what it was going to be like, and you know, some of the fans get that, and some of the fans don't like it, and a lot of the fans really love it. So, but it's like the fact that people are talking about it, like a song like Flexin', it's like you either hate it or you love it. There's no like in between. It's not like anybody's just not thinking about it. Like, it's okay.
It's
either like, that song's fucking horrible, or that song's sick. Like, it's just so polarizing, you know.
In my like research before this, I just like, it's funny you mentioned that. Is that seems to be the one the most divisive song
right.
on the record, which
but
I frankly love.
Pleasure.
But like,
I feel like some people like to say that Issues is their guilty pleasure. Like, maybe we're not hard enough, or maybe we're too pop, or maybe we're too, you know, metal, or people used to think we were just like, you know, scene or whatever. But as we've evolved and as we've matured in our writing, and like this new record has obviously unlocked, you know, doors for us, I think that people, you know, are less prone to saying like, oh, Issues is a guilty pleasure, but definitely say that Flexin' is a guilty pleasure, because it is kind of a pop song, but it has like a really nasty riff and really nasty groove to it, and honestly, like, just takes a lot of Prince vibes, and you know, Prince is a pioneer, like, so it's, you know, you can't really just call it like some cheesy pop, because I think it really is an innovative track.
It's definitely, it's one of those cross-genre ones on the Spotify playlist tracks, you know, get a few of them in there. With, like, kind of how just in, like, the music is distributed today and, like, how people engage with it. Do you think that it is kind of reflexive of, like, you're just adapting to kind of, like, a new model? Do you think putting out kind of just the most phenomenally catchy stuff is the best way to keep guitar-based music relevant?
I don't know. I mean, I think people probably assume that that kind of curriculum is what's going to make it work. You know, like, oh, it has to be just over-the-top catchy or bubblegum pop, but then throwing, you know, some, like, distorted guitars. But it's like, I think the radio is afraid of that, and I think there are, you know, there's still some pop rock bands that get radio play and have distorted guitar, but it seems like they may end up, you know, emerging into just more, like, for lack of better terms, bubblegum pop. But I don't know. I don't think you can think about that all the time. I think sometimes you just got to think about, like, the best song. It doesn't necessarily mean it's the catchiest song, but it you know, there's a lot of factors into what makes something the best song to you, and that's, like, the honesty, the lyrics, the melodies, like, the innovativeness. You know, is it different and unique in the sense of, like, the melodies versus riffs versus instrumental breaks and shit like that? I mean, because you look, you know, in history, like, you've got songs like Hit Me Baby One More Time, like a smash, you know, Britney Spears song, but like, you think about a song like Bohemian Rhapsody, that had no curriculum whatsoever. Like, that didn't follow a trend or anything. And it's like, is it wrong to think that there could be a band or an artist in the future that could make a song that's so unstructured and so, you know, out of the box from what's normal on the radio? Like, somebody might just make, but it depends. Like, is it something?
Yeah.
So we just have to keep an open mind and, like, the artistic integrity alive.
I think it's interesting that you make the distinction between, like, bubblegum pop and, like, just, like, really well-written songs. It's, like, in just kind of how people interpret genre nowadays, it's kind of way more, like, wishy-washy. It's, like, a lot less defined. Right. At least I kind of feel like with how people are in... I mean, we have, like, in America, like, the top song for the longest time was country... That, what was that? How was that? I'm having my moment of, like, what was popular music thing? Pardon my, like...
Right.
Internal metal nerd in me, yeah. That's jumping on one of the, like, failing on one of the most popular songs that's been on the board forever. Billy Ray Cyrus is on it, but okay. Anyway.
Lil Nas?
Yeah, that's the one.
Old Town Road.
Why couldn't I? I was like, I wanted to say Old Town Road, but I'm like, no, that's too generic country sounding. It can't be the, and I'm like, ah. Oh. No. Anyway, no knocks against that. My inability to remember it. Thanks for saving me on that one. Yeah, so, like, with that being on number one charts in, like, country and pop and, like, just pop charts and everything, right. It's kind of like genre is less and less important. So do you think, like, you're going to see more bands kind of following what you guys are putting down with, like, oh, yeah, you can have, like, a Prince vibe and, like, breakdowns?
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like, and this, I mean, this might come off, like, this might be a hot take, but I just feel like some people aren't capable of seeing beyond that because I really think, and this is okay too, because there are a lot of, like, let's just call them garage bands, you know, just, you know, whether we come from, like, broken homes or, like, just, you know, middle America, you know, not a lot to do, but start a punk band, like, backgrounds or whatever, you know, a lot of people just play from the heart and you just slam on guitar and slam on the drums and write some lyrics and, you know, you might just get better at it and better at it and then you become really popular, but, like, are you really, like deep down to your core, are you a musician? Like, are you actually a songwriter? Are you actually, you know, do you have any skill or knowledge, or is it just kind of an emotional, like, you're just playing from angst kind of thing? And both of those things are great, but I think when you think about transcending, like, genres and all this stuff, I think that it takes a little more than just, you know, angst. To like, you know, write a good song and yeah, I don't know. I think people should think, I would hope that people would start thinking less about genre. I mean, obviously there's always going to be genres because when you go on Pandora and you want to listen to a certain style and you want to listen to something that reflects your mood right then and there, we have to be able to, like, separate genres in a sense, you know, to match people's tastes and moods and
But in an ideal kind of genre breakdown, I could see, like, maybe being beneficial to just go by mood. Because, like, you know, you can have like, an angry mood and be like, okay, not necessarily always listening to music with, like, yelling and, like, beat down.
Right, I might, when I'm angry, have, like, an angry pop song. Something that, like, chills me out rather than something that, like, reflects my anger. It's not like I want to drink whiskey and listen to terror, you know what I mean? Like, if I'm angry, I probably want to listen to something that's going to chill me out, so I'll probably listen to, like, Shania Twain or something, you know what I mean?
What's, like, your, like, choice cut Shania Twain song?
And catchy and just, like, smooth, like, country song or whatever. But, yeah, in terms of, like, Old Town Road, like, we've got tons of country artists that are crossing over into pop and, you know, just... I won't say pop, I'll say top 40. You know, top 40's radio or Billboard is also playing, like... You know, you got, like, Florida Georgia Line and BB Rexha have a country song that crossed over, and you've got Taylor Swift 2 years ago crossed over to pop and stayed there, you know, and her new record, she's got some country throwbacks on there. So, yeah, I don't know. I hope that people in the rock scene will think a little less about being elitist and sticking only to that, you know, one sound or whatever, because I just don't think people can evolve. And you think about our fan bases as they grow and they evolve too. And we're older now too, so it's not like we're going to just keep staying the same and we'll just get the next generation of 14-year-olds. Because then the next generation of 14-year-olds probably like something different. So why not grow with our fans, because we're growing too and we're growing out of certain styles or certain this and that. And it's something we'll always cherish. But you have to think about, like, where we're going as men and women. And just, yeah, like, being who we are and authentic in our music, our fans are growing too. So, like, we're all here together, right? You know? I don't know. If it makes sense.
cough, gasp, and sputter, spinning helplessly down toward the earth. A loss of control, the sky swallows whole, spinning down, down, forever falling down, down.
Trying to let you. The descent is all the truth. Transcendent Live Performance, Bell Center, June 3rd. With special guest, Perfume Genius. Get tickets now at eventcode.ca. The new album, The Slow Rush, is available February 14th. Check more at tameimpala.com.
World music, interviews, new releases, community events, every Saturday from noon to 2 on CJLO 1690 AM with Kelly, Sugar Nene, and Mr. Lala. We travel all around the world. Check out Beat the World every Saturday from noon to 2.
Y'all, 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 this is CJLO. Won't you stay tuned for some more good music?
The same album 5 times. And then just see yourself as the band that's, you know, like you went from, you know, selling out 2,000 cap rooms to playing for just a couple people at a bar or something. You know, it's like, I respect the will to keep the passion alive, but it's like, we all grow. Like, I don't even like the same foods I like 10 years ago. So why would I be, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't dress the same. You know, my hair's not the same. Like get with the times, you know what I mean? Let your palate grow musically, you know what I mean? Like, and let your art evolve.
In fact, like, even looking at kind of the more popular trends with music, it's kind of showing that the general public is kind of steering towards that.
Right.
Do you think there's something about just kind of heavier, like, guitar-driven music that just has something in it that makes people less reluctant to do that?
I don't know. I couldn't tell you, but, like, Is everybody just afraid of distorted guitars? You think that's what it is?
Maybe.
Or is it drums? Because you got a lot of rappers out there now that are putting heavy guitars in their beats, and that's getting like universal love and, like, you know, radio play and stuff. So is it drums, or is it guitar, or is it just like starting a new style altogether and making a new wave that's going to sweep the nation? And, you know, because It's almost 2020. It's not the 90s anymore. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's not the 2000s anymore. It's not the 2010s anymore. So it's like, I don't know. I don't really get it. But maybe I do get it, but it's just hard to explain. I just keep using the word evolve because that's really the only word that you can use.
It's a natural, it's a flow.
But yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And for just to kind of wrap up, with your new album and everything out, for those newer fans, if you could have a preferred listening order for your records, what would you say?
I honestly think the way we put our out. You mean the songs on the new album?
I meant your discography. Just to engage, if you're like a new fan who is like myself, come off this first record, and I mean maybe unlike me, isn't diligently listening to all the songs prior to this interview.
Yeah, I always tell people, I always show people the Drink About It video first. That, because I think the video and the song is like just the total package. Like, they complete each other. Because we went for fashion, we went for, you know, androgyny and, like, just, you know, dark, eerie kind of, you know, vibe with the bees and, like, the dark, like, crown and, you know, like, the content of the video. I think we went for fashion as well as just a dark, eerie, you know, metal video. And then there's the androgyny, there's the gender bending element of it. But then the song itself is just what the video is too. Like, the song bends genres and styles, but it's innovative and it's also catchy and it's also kind of dark and, like, yeah, it has a lot of attitude. So I think the two of them together is just like the perfect pair. And so I always go for somebody to watch that. As far as the discography, obviously I'm going to be one to promote Beautiful Oblivion because it's our most prideful body of work yet, and I think that's it speaks numbers for us as a band. Of course, you're going to get like some classics like the self-titled record. I think is great. I think I would recommend that second. Headspace, I recommend just for the music nerd, because I think the musicianship was the number one priority in Headspace overall, over songwriting or connecting with people emotionally. The main goal, I think, was just to show people that, like, the band members in Issues are really fucking talented, you know what I mean?
We'll be right back. Yeah.